Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Seth Habacker.
Morning, everyone.
And we are joined right now by our good friends in the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Michael Carraher.
Michael, I knew that was going to happen. As soon as I said Paul, I knew it. Hey, Michael, how you been?
Yep. I've been doing pretty good, staying warm so far.
Good to hear. Good to hear. Yeah. I know we have some interesting weather coming up this weekend for our holiday weekend. What do you have for us?
Yeah, not the best for driving, especially over the next 24 hours with those strong west to northwest winds continuing. That's why we do have that winter storm warning. Just off to our west, though, for Clark and Jackson counties, a blizzard warning over that way where the winds look to be incrementally stronger a bit further off to our west. But needless to say, blowing and drifting snow across much of the open country out there for today with those strong west to northwest winds, sustained at around 15 to 30 miles per hour. Could even have some gusts up into the 40 mile per hour range by this afternoon. Also whipping up some pretty cold wind chills out there for today, down in the 30s to near 40 below zero range yet this morning, probably only improving to the 20s below zero by this afternoon, actual high temperatures only reaching one below zero later on today. Then for tonight, still a chance for a coating of some light snow or flurries, but widespread blowing snow across the region, staying windy overnight, northwest winds 20 to 30 miles per hour, temperatures steady in the single digits below zero, but wind chills down in the 20s below zero for tonight. Still very windy on your Saturday, northwest winds 20 to 25 miles per hour, a high of 3 degrees. Finally, those winds slacken off into your Christmas Day itself. Not all that much warmer, a high of 9, but thankfully the wind chill's not nearly as brutal there for your Christmas Day Sunday. Slight chance for a coating of some light snow with a weak disturbance Sunday night, and then we clear out those skies for your Monday with mid-teens making a return, and temperatures continue to improve there Tuesday into Wednesday of next work week. Tuesday, we're back to lower 20s, and some balmy mid-30s returning even by Wednesday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
We appreciate it, Michael, especially the details that only the Weather Eye Weather Center can really give us and everything. You could have saved yourself some time and just said it's cold.
Yeah, cold and windy.
I know how hurt. I know you're in a hurry here. Yeah, you could have not. We really, really appreciate it, Michael. I really appreciate you putting up with me. Thank you so much for the time, Michael. Wishing you and yours and the whole staff over there at the Weather Eye Weather Center a very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. You take care.
And Merry Christmas to you guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center.
It's cold.
I mean, there's no getting around it. If you don't have to go outside, don't.
There's no reason to.
Nope. And if anybody, you do run into anybody outside, you know, don't bring up the cold. You don't have to. Everybody knows. Everybody understands.
Just really confuse them and say, man, it's so nice and warm out today.
Can you believe that nice breeze we've got out there? Boy, the sun is
summer
hitting me.
Breeze.
I'm thinking about putting some shorts on. We got some fun stuff to get to this hour. Of course, it is in just a little bit. It's Misty's mini birthday anniversary time. And shortly after Melissa's news, we will make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to all of that. We kick off this hour in a fun one. I've been hanging on to this one, Seth. Looking for a good time to do this.
All right.
Rolling Stone ranked the 100 best TV theme songs of all time.
Oh, they did they?
Yeah. And we're going to see how much we agree with this list.
Okay, this is going to be good.
All right. We're not going to go through all 100 of these, obviously.
No.
I've got 20 of them here. We'll graze through some, you know, just glance over them and everything.
Sure, sure.
But then there's some other ones that we do have to kind of take a moment with.
Okay, let's do that.
Because I think they're iconic.
Yep.
And we start off with one. Number 20 on the list is All in the Family, a classic, you know, 1971 to 1979.
Yep.
Them singing, everything.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Dad, Archie!
She was so good.
She was so good.
She was so funny.
Oh, that cast. There's no
what
flaws
a cast,
in
man.
That cast. It was a perfect cast. And I do believe, if I read that right, it was their first take. That they got
really?
That down. I'm 90% sure it was the first take. That's what you see.
Yep.
I think that they wanted to do other takes, but they just liked the original so much. That's what they went with.
It worked out well for them. It really did.
I think what makes a good theme song is certainly it being memorable, but does it hit the show? does it make you think of the show? Mm-hmm. And certainly that one clearly
perfect.
Does. It's a perfect one
yes.
for that.
Oh, man.
I think that's it's sweet and heartfelt. At the same time, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek and couple kind of like giving razzing each other a little in
yeah,
some way.
Right.
It's a couple.
Yeah.
And you get that. And then you get the idea of what All in the Family is going to be about.
Exactly.
The Sopranos is a different family.
Completely different kind of family.
It was on HBO from 1999 to 2007. And I do genuinely believe, as incredible and iconic as that show was, it is one of the greatest shows of all time. Mm-hmm. And there's no denying that.
Yep.
If you don't like the show, that's fine. I'm not saying that you know, you have to like the show.
No, not at all.
But it speaks for itself. What it did, it changed the game of TV.
It really did.
In some good ways and some bad ways. the HBO hung on to The Sopranos like longer than they should have. And they would push David Chase off, and they'd like, oh, we want to drag this out, so we're going to wait a year before, you know, we release, or no, 2 years or something like that before we release any new episodes. And then it was like a year and a half. And and now that's not a big deal anymore. But
that's what they do all the time. It's very annoying, though. Yeah,
it kind of started with The Sopranos, and that's not necessarily a good thing. Although, again, this theme song. Oh, I will jam out to this theme song my whole life.
Do we know who did the theme song to this?
It was a one-hit wonder band. I can't remember exactly who it was, but yeah, they this was it.
Mostly, the reason I'm asking is because the singer sounds a lot like by a musician by the name of Barry Adamson, who was a member of Nick Cave's Bad Seeds for many, many years. But he also has created some amazing... records by himself, and that's he sings like that. That's why I was wondering.
I'm
if pretty it was
sure.
Him.
I'm almost thinking we're talking about the same guy. I'm almost positive it's the same guy. At number 19, I'm sorry, number 18 on the list is a little show that premiered in 1989 and is still going on to this day.
Actually, it is.
First aired December 17th, 1989. Mm-hmm. One of the more classic intros in TV history.
I love the story of how that was created. Basically, Matt Groening went to Danny Elfman and said, here, this is what I want it to sound like. And he somehow pulled it off. Because he's Danny Elfman. He can do that.
Yeah.
he put like this mass of old themes he liked and all these other things. And he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. Danny Elfman, really one of your go-to guys if you need
for
music.
Sure.
Like, I don't know if it's a movie, TV show,
does
commercial.
Not matter.
Doesn't matter. Go to Danny Elfman. Number 17 on the list, The Muppet Show from 1976 to 1981.
Yes, classic.
Plus, just so much fun. Such a great one. I can't help but smile with so many of these.
Yes.
All in the Family, The Simpsons, The Muppet Show, they all make me smile.
Mm-hmm.
I bought my head to Sopranos, but I'm smiling in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
The Rockford Files at number 16 from 1974 to 1980. Yeah. It, one of those ones, as soon as I hear it, I would remember it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Doom, 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 doom,
Mission Impossible.
At number 15, Mission Impossible from 1966 to 1973. So darn popular that they kept it in the movies.
It is it's one of the great song openings of any kind of song.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yep.
That trill up into the rip. Yep.
Oh, the
and then the fuse at the very beginning. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
It's classic.
So good. I mean, very well done. That's a smart theme song, I think.
Yes.
Again, it tells you what the show's about and keeps you engaged, keeps you interested. Especially
by the way,
first time watchers.
Did you know that Peter Graves went to the University of Minnesota?
No, I didn't know.
I'm just supposed to throw that out there.
Nice. number 14 on the list, similar to The Sopranos, a modern classic, The Wire, from 2002 to 2008. One of those shows that if you haven't seen it, everybody who has seen it is going to give you a hard time for not seeing it.
Yeah, I know. And I have not seen it. And I know that's one I really, really need to watch. I know it's something I got to see, but yeah.
The Wire was a show that I, very similar to The Sopranos, a little bit in my world, and I like and everything. And it really, some really great episodes and stuff, a little overrated.
Really?
Yeah, I feel
you're
like.
You're the first person I've ever heard say that. That's cool.
I mean,
that's
I
interesting.
Mean, a little, not a lot, a little. Only because I feel like it's been talked about so much, and you know, especially like you've never seen it before. You all this hype, you go into it. it. You're going to be about two seasons in before you're really going to see what everybody's talking about, I think.
Oh, okay. I hear you.
And I don't know if you really like put it all together, how many episodes really hold up.
Yeah.
Great acting. Incredible acting. That for sure. That's, you know, no question about it.
No, because I can't remember his name. The creator of that he was also the creator of Homicide.
Yeah,
I think that's Craig. We probably should look that up. But anyway, by the way, one of my all-time favorite shows, Homicide. That was an awesome show.
Homicide, Life on the Street was everything I wanted Law & Order to be.
Yeah.
It was. I loved that. You talk about a perfect cast. Andre Brower, Richard Belzer. It was
Yaphet Kotto.
One of the all-time greats. Never got used nearly enough, Yaphet Kotto. Great, great actor. You never saw Yaphet Kotto do a syllable that wasn't great. Well done.
I was bemoaning the fact that I haven't seen Andre Brower recently.
Yeah.
And I love he's such a good actor. Ugh.
I'm really happy for him that he got on that, Brooklyn 99?
Yeah, 99 or whatever it is.
He gets to play comedy.
He never gets to do comedy.
You actually get to see him smile at that show.
He was always so serious on all he did. He was like super serious.
At number 13, and just similar to some of these, I can't believe it wasn't a little higher on the list. Making your way. I would say that for our generation, Seth, this might be the first theme song that became memorized by us.
I think so.
I
can't think of one before this that I remembered the lyrics to. Yeah.
Those other shows and some ones coming up and everything were our parents' shows. Mm-hmm. We watched repeats of and everything. But this was premiered and was on in our time and everything. And I think it's easily one of the most iconic theme songs. Songs. Like, you could say it's just songs.
Songs, period. I'm laughing because I did a theme song show for Seth Face of the Music. This is one of the ones I picked, of course. Mm. And if you listen to like the second verse, it talks about this person is going to cheers because of all this horrible stuff that happens
to
him.
Yes,
it's hilarious.
There's so many songs or different things I go back and I listen to. Spencer Hall, great college football writer, all that. He's talking about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald and how his favorite part is like basically the second part where all Gordon Lightfoot's doing is just telling you all the stuff that was on the ship, like the itinerary. Yeah. It's all that he's doing in the last verse and everything, or second verse or something. It's hilarious.
20,000 tons more than the end. Yes.
Let's see here. Then it goes to Hawaii 5-0 at number 12 from 68 to 1980.
Oh, The Ventures. That was a classic show. Jack Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Game of Thrones from 2011 to 2019. Another pretty famous one.
Well, that's interesting, though. So, is that, I mean, does it even have a long opening sequence?
Not really, and it's all instrumental.
Yeah.
But I think it's the...
It's all very inspiring. Yes, yeah, okay, gotcha.
And let's see here. Moving up the list, you've got Friends at number 8 from 1994 to 2004. I think that one is more of an outlier. Does that song have anything to do with the show?
No, it was picked. It was a song that was already there.
Yeah.
And they picked it for the beginning of the show.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
They didn't, yeah.
So a little more of an outlier, but the show is so popular that the theme song so catchy and was already a hit song.
It was already a hit, basically. So it just became more of a hit when it became the theme to the show. Yeah.
Number 7, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air from 90 to 96. Noteworthy because it's the first one with any rap in a theme song, really.
And it's probably one of the first that I guess All in the Family was the cast members sang that one too.
Yeah.
But again, it was a cast member that sang that song.
Good point. The Twilight Zone at number 6 from 1959 to 1964. Oh yeah.
That's one of the creepy classics of all time, the theme of the Twilight Zone, yes.
There was a show that was on after Saturday Night Live, or maybe after Kids in the Hall. It was
The Outer Limits.
Was it The Outer Limits? Yep. So creepy intro. It was just like the woods.
We control your...
No, that's it. I'm thinking of something else.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking of something else. I can't think of what the TV show was. Creepiest theme song of all time. I can't think of what the show was.
Sure wasn't Twin Peaks?
No. Yeah, right.
That had a pretty creepy theme song, too.
Yeah. On number 5, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood from 1968 to 2001. Again, one that he did himself.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, he wrote it because he was a musician. People don't realize that, yes.
Way up on the list, at number 4, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend from 2015 to 2019. I don't remember this show.
I remember hearing about it. It's a musical show. It's where they break into song in the middle of the episodes. Okay. That's what made it kind of, that was its gimmick, sort of. But I never watched it, so I have no idea.
I'm just going to play a little of
this. I was working hard at a New York job, and you know what, it made me blue. One day
I was crying a lot, and so I decided to move to West Covina, California. Okay, that's all. I can't. No. No. And I'm done.
Oh.
I can't do that. I'm sorry, everybody, if you were enjoying that. I apologize. I can only handle 5 more seconds of that. I could not handle any more of that. I really couldn't.
Oh, that's good. I just love the fact that there's a show you know nothing about.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
And it's a recent one. I mean, it just came out in the last 10 years. I've never heard. I can't. I had to have heard it. I just don't remember.
It never registered. Yeah.
None of that registers to me, though. None of it. That's weird. Number 3 on the list, but should be at number 1 in my opinion. If you're not going to put Night Court, it's not even on this list.
No.
If you're not going to put Night Court up there, or The Simpsons, or The Sopranos, or any of my other personal picks, and yes, I'm incredibly biased, don't take me seriously at all. I think this is the most memorable theme song of all time. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Right there.
Yeah.
It gets you right there.
The harp right there, yep.
You immediately know where you are. You're in a junkyard.
Yeah,
you're in a junkyard, and you're wondering who this wheezy woman is and why this guy's going to have a heart attack every 5 seconds. The theme song from Sanford and Son comes in at number 3 from 1972 to 1977. Again, not a show that we were around. I mean, it wrapped up the year we
were born. Yeah, exactly.
But my dad loved this show. He loved Red Fox.
Oh.
Classic.
I have to say, if there's anything about that show that I love the most, is that Red Fox had toiled in the clubs for years and years, and he finally got a chance to be on TV mainstream, and man, he knocked it out of the park.
He really did.
I'm coming for you, Wheezy! I'm coming for you! Even people who don't even know the show kind of know that with the catchphrases and stuff from that show.
Really, you know? Yeah. Number 2 on the list was a tie between the Brady Bunch and Gilligan's Island. Brady Bunch ran from 69 to 74, Gilligan's Island 64 to 67.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize Gilligan's Island was only on for a couple of years.
It's
only 3 years.
It really wasn't that big of a show,
but it's
become into. I think it went into syndication, and a bunch of kids watched it, so that's why it became such a. There were other shows that happened with, and I was very surprised. There was a show back in the 60s, I think, called F Troop.
Oh yeah,
which again was 2 seasons. But because they showed it like on Saturday mornings, a whole generation of kids saw it, and that's why it became popular again. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I think that's Gilligan's Island was only on for 3 years.
If you're a fan of Gilligan's Island, it might not have Papa loved that show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not gonna rip out of there or anything. But I don't know how you ever made that show, like how that got on air with it now. Like I could see it being a mini series.
Yeah.
But, that's a great pitch meeting. You go in there and you can pitch to them, hey, I can turn, because back then, they didn't care if you could make 16, 20 episodes. Can you give me 5 seasons?
Yeah.
That's what it was all about.
Yeah.
So I went in there and I was able to pitch Gilligan's Island that I can get 5 seasons out of a group of people being deserted on an island.
Yeah.
And we're going to have celebrities show up and they can get off the island, but these people can't. Like multiple times, the Harlem Globetrotters showed up.
You know, I just realized that you just explaining it there, I realized that show made no sense at all.
How did they make, like, I at first I'm kind of like, wow, it was on 3 years. I didn't realize it was just that short. I am impressed. They got 3 seasons out of that. That's impressive.
And again, the theme song, it must be nostalgia because it's kind of a dopey theme song.
Yeah.
3 hour tour. I mean, come on. You know.
It does tell you. I wish they would have given a criteria of what they believe makes the perfect theme song and all that. Because if part of your part of your criteria is it explains the show, I think it does that a little bit.
Which, if that were the case, then there's only one number one song in the not too distant future.
Yes.
I'll stop.
Nice. Nicely done. That is a classic theme song.
Yes,
it's classic.
Is.
I have always, for those that don't know, Seth's talking about Mr. Science Theater 3000.
Yes.
The nanobots at the end, like the original theme where the old doors open and the nano. I always wanted one of those.
Yeah.
I always wanted one of those.
The little nanobots. Yeah, those are cool.
It's my favorite part. That, I think it's the last door that opens and you see it. And number one on the list, and rightfully so, really, from 1975 to 1985. We're moving up, everybody. We're moving on up to It tells you what it's about.
Yep.
You
yep.
know what's happening.
Yep.
I absolutely love the intro. I mean, you've got Isabel Sanford. You've got, of course, the great Sherman Hemsley.
Yep.
All 5 foot one of them. And they're literally driving to the city.
Yes.
They're driving to the city with the van. You see them pulling up, all that stuff and everything. Like, it's everything that a TV theme song is supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's soulful.
It's soulful.
And it's soulful.
Memorable.
Yep.
I would add Outside the Lines, honorable mentions. I think Good Times is a classic.
Oh, Good Times is a good one. Yep.
Oh, that's got to be it. That's got to be top 10 to me at least and stuff. And I mentioned Night Court before. I think that's one. Are there any that you're thinking of?
Yes, Scooby-Doo. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
The original Scooby-Doo theme song. I love that one. Yeah.
No, that's a good reference. That's a good comp right there. I didn't even think of that. That is going to wrap up the segment, everybody. That was a lot of fun, though.
That was excellent. Very much.
I would love to hear from the audience. Honorable mentions or any other ones you guys got, bring them to us, everybody.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear them from you. Go ahead and send them to us. Like you do your birthdays and anniversaries, which is where we're going to go next. Coming up, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club.
Right, so smooth.
Here on Mornings on WFHR.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear AOL buddy. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, Zoe Deschanel, everybody. Thank you so much. Friend of the show, Zoe Deschanel. Thank you so much. Zoe, you don't have to leave. Okay, she's gone.
Yeah, she's gone. It's cold, man. She doesn't want to stay here.
Yeah, don't blame
before
her.
We start, I just wanted to mention something. You and Melissa heard a couple. I did put a couple of new birthday songs in there. You'll be hearing them shortly. Mm-hmm. The one you did on Monday or Tuesday or whenever it was, that was actually Stevie Wonder.
No.
Yes, that's a Stevie Wonder happy birthday song. Yeah.
I knew it was familiar, but I couldn't place it, and I'm never going to forgive myself for that. That's awesome. Oh, I can't wait to hear that one.
We got a few more coming up that'll be fun. So
all those bumpers you hear, whether it's our Christmas music or it's those right there done by our head of sound, our head of production. Really, I do mean sound.
I was going to say, can you change my title? I want to be head of sound now.
You are definitely all head sound. Of sound around here. Your ear for sound is unlike any I've ever been around in this business. I just really appreciate the work you do over there, brother. Nice work. That's some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends at Misty's Menu. Treat yourself. Get on over there. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week in 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR.
Yes, indeed.
And, of course, we don't just celebrate today. No, no. We celebrate all weekend long. We got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday here.
We've got Monday, everybody.
That's
don't forget
right.
Monday. We won't be here. So
I do need a one or a two from you, Seth.
Okay, let's do one today.
All right, that gives us that. And then I need another one or a two from you.
Let's do one again. Ooh.
Ooh.
Threw a little curveball
nice,
in there for
nice.
You.
Nice, I like it. All right, there we go. That gives us our qualifiers. So we can go right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Dean Langhoff.
Dean, happy birthday.
Dean, we're wishing you a great birthday. We hope you enjoy your day.
Mm-hmm.
And our qualifier for today is Kathy Moran.
Kathy, happy birthday.
Kathy, we are wishing you a great day. Hope it's a good one for you. Hope the day treats you good. Then moving on to Saturday.
Okay.
We have here Connie Zuiki celebrating a birthday.
Connie, happy birthday, Connie.
All right, Connie, wish you a great birthday.
Yeah.
Hope it's a good one for you. Enjoy your day, Connie. And then also we want to wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier on Saturday, Carol Korn.
Carol, happy birthday. Very good.
We're wishing her a great day.
You know, the one question I would like to ask some of these folks that are born this time of year is whether or not it's worse to be born on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Because
considering all that's going on in those 2 days.
I think that's a fair question.
Yeah.
We have no birthdays on Sunday. We don't have anybody lined up on Sunday. So sorry about that. That is weird. That is a little weird to not have any on Sunday. I thought for sure we would.
Yep.
We do have two great ones on Monday, though.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, Seth, I need you to give me another one or a two here.
We'll do two this time.
The two? Okay. Yeah. Oh. All right. That gives us our qualifier. So first up on Monday, good friend of both of you and I, Emma. Emma Louise, we want to wish you a happy birthday to. Emma, of course, we're in Baskerville with.
That's right. Yep.
I've been in a countless place with Emma. I was in It's a Wonderful Life with Emma, of course, mm-hmm. Baskerville. Just one of the better actors I've ever worked with on stage, mm-hmm. period.
Yeah. Very good.
I think she's incredibly good at what she does. She's also one of those few actors I've been around that approaches the craft a lot, very, very similar to the way I do. And we kind of hit it off on that note a long time ago, mm-hmm. and just became good friends from that moment on.
Yeah.
Loved working with her and enjoy so much of what she's done. And she's doing some great things still. She's doing the music and all kinds of things.
That's cool.
It's very, very doing great work out there.
Very cool. Happy birthday, Emma.
And we have to wish a very special birthday on Monday to our qualifier, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Miss Terry Ashbeck Johns.
Seriously?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yep.
Terry, you owe me.
Terry's a qualifier. She technically doesn't work here.
That's true.
Sometimes it feels like she does for her, I'm sure. I'm sure sometimes she
feels
like.
Yeah, I'm sure she's like, wait a minute, why am I doing this again?
Any day now she's going to call Mike and Sage. I'm like, look, I need hazard pay for this stuff. I'm working with this James guy. Like, I need something. You guys
give me something,
give me like
man.
A fruit basket or something here, man. I mean, I need something. Terry is, I've said this before. I've never had a mentor before. And I never thought about it. Never, mm-hmm. to be honest, never really wanted one or anything like that. She has been that for me organically.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I cannot tell you the things that I have learned and grown as a not only in this job, but as a man mm-hmm. from talking to her and getting to know her more and everything. I consider a great friend and just one of the nicest, genuine people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. What I like about Terry is what you see is what you get, mm-hmm. and you know where you stand.
Yep.
And I appreciate that in people, especially somebody who just tells it like it is real.
That's right.
We wishing you a great one, Terry. Enjoy. And now it's starting to make a little more sense, though, about the snow, huh? Her love of winter, her love of snow. It's starting. All this stuff's starting to kind of play into a little bit more. All that should be mentioned, of course.
Yes.
So, again, we want to wish everybody a happy birthday out there. Thank you so much for getting them to us. Let's go ahead and take a look at some celebrity birthdays for today. We mentioned Harry Shearer earlier, turning mm-hmm. 79 today.
Wow, 79. Woo.
This is Spinal Tap, The Simpsons, so many things that he has done. He actually played a talk show host on The Truman Show, too, and did a really nice job on that. I forgot.
He could have made a good talk show host if they actually had given him a show. He would have been good at it, I think.
The great, the legend, Susan Lucci is 76 today. Says awesome. Susan Lucci, of course, a longtime daytime Emmy runner-up, yep. But I do believe ended up winning one finally.
Mm-hmm. She did. I remember that.
And I do believe she had no idea what to do with herself.
No, like, she didn't.
She had no idea how to handle it. That was great.
Nope.
Great actress.
She was a great actress. You know, you can't necessarily judge by what they've, the form they choose to act in, but you can see, it doesn't matter the material, you can tell if you have a good actor or not.
Yeah,
because she was good. She was really good.
Eddie Vedder turns 58 today. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to Eddie. I talked about him a little bit earlier. Actor Finn Wolfhard is 20 today. He's one of the actors in Stranger Things.
He's 20 now?
Yeah.
Man, kids grow up fast.
Those kids grew up so fast.
They did, man.
He does the voices a character in Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, I guess.
Mm.
Let's see here. And, Yeah, you know, there's a handful of other birthdays on this day. Some good ones. Like people no longer with us, like Corey Haim was born on this day, no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly should mention that one.
Yeah.
If you're a
child of the 80s.
Yep. So one more time, we want to take a look at today's list. We want to wish a happy birthday to Dean Langhoff.
Happy birthday, Dean.
To our qualifier today, Kathy Moran. Happy birthday.
And congratulations.
Yeah. On Saturday, a happy birthday to Connie Zawicki.
Mm-hmm. Happy birthday.
Happy qualifying and happy birthday on Saturday to Carol Korn.
Congratulations and get ready. We're doing that soon. It's coming up here.
Sunday is Christmas.
Yes.
I mean, look, why is it the Jewish guy that's mentioning it's Jesus' birthday, Seth? I was waiting for you to say something.
I was going to say, Jesus. Hey, Jesus was a Jew. Don't give me that.
You're right.
He was Jewish.
Fair,
come on.
Fair point. And on Sunday, on Monday, again, happy birthday to Emma. Emma, wishing you a great one. And of course, Terry, enjoy your day. Hope it's a great one. The day treats you good, hon. Enjoy
your day. Yes, happy birthday, everybody.
And treat yourself.
Head including Jesus.
Treat yourself. Head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Take a listen to Melissa's News and head on over to Misty's and treat yourself. We'll be back with Culver's Star of the Day right here on WFHR. Lights, camera, action. It is time for WFHR Star of the Day featuring Culver's. What Seth and I are about to do is play a couple of quotes from a famous Christmas movie.
Hmm.
Maybe even a little bit of the theme music from that Christmas movie.
Ah, very nice.
If you can guess it, you feel like you know it, call up 424-2600. As long as you've not won anything in 30 days, you haven't qualified for anything in 30 days, you go ahead and do that, and you can win two value baskets, two concrete mixers from our great friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Culver's. Mm-hmm. We wish them a great good morning and a Merry Christmas to our friends at Culver's.
Yes.
Appreciate them doing this so very much. We have a lot of fun with this show, and they've been doing this for years with us.
Yes, they have.
So let's go ahead and get ready, everybody. Get ready to hear this, okay?
All right.
Call up 424-2600 and tell us what movie this is from.
Got the daughter in the clinic getting cured off the wild turkey. And the older boy, bless his soul, is preparing for his career.
College?
Carnival.
You gotta be proud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, last season he was a pixie dust spreader on a Celtic whirl. He thinks that maybe next year he'll be guessing people's weight or barking for the yak woman.
Can I refill your eggnog for you? Get you something to eat? Drive you out to the middle of nowhere? Leave you for dead?
I'm doing just fine, Clark.
See if we have ourselves a winner. Good morning. What's your guess?
Is that National Lampoon's Christmas?
Yes, it
that's
is.
Correct.
Yes, it is. Nicely done. Yeah, yes. Who do we have on the phone with us?
This is Barb.
Barb, thank you so much. Did you know that one pretty? You felt pretty good about that one. Yeah. Cousin Eddie, as soon as you hear Cousin Eddie.
Cousin Eddie, he's the funny one.
Barb, thank you so much for listening and playing along. We appreciate that. Just hang on the line. Going to get a little information from you off air. But Barb, what town are you calling us from?
Nakusa.
All right.
Yeah.
And we love our Nakusa listeners.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that.
I can look right out the window and see the in the park. They're all lit up. The nice Christmas lights.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
I am
right across the street from it.
I'm a little jealous of
me
you,
too.
Barb. I love that look. That's a nice view over there. Thank you so much for listening and playing along. Wish you a Merry Christmas, Barb. Hang on the line. I'm going to talk to you in just a moment, okay?
Okay. Same deal.
Thank you. I figured we would get it through the quotes. But
yes.
Just in case, I did pull up this little doozy.
Yep.
And I don't think a lot of people realize this is Lindsey Buckingham.
No. And the way he looks in this video is kind of creepy.
No, this is creepy. This video. I don't remember this video.
No.
I don't know if I ever saw it. Do yourself a favor. Look up Lindsey Buckingham, Holiday Road. Watch this video for as long as you can handle it. Because I don't know what Lindsey.
What, did he get plastic like done over his face?
I don't think it's so weird. There's no way he wanted to do this. Like, Lindsey Buckingham always kind of looked like he was a little moody, a little grumpy.
Yeah, right.
This video, he looks just blank.
Angry,
Like angry blank, like that kind of. Like when your parents get really, really mad at you and they're just emotionless.
Yeah,
like, that's the way he looks right there. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, 1989.
It's been that long already.
1989,
man.
I actually thought it was a little older than that.
Oh, okay.
I was a little surprised. Yeah, Lindsey Buckingham, man. Great guitar player.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I don't know if I'd want to interview him, though. I don't know.
Might be angry at you for some reason.
I'd be asked the wrong question, like I do with John Mellencamp again, you know?
What a reference.
We're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Barb. We'll be back with some more fun here on the mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here on WFHR. 8:47 on the clock. Seth and James here with you. I'm going to try to get to the next subject, but I got Lindsey Buckingham's cold, dead eyes just like still stuck in my head.
Boring into your soul.
That video really shook me this morning, man.
And it's weird because they like prettied him up and everything, you know, the makeup and everything. They make him look almost not real. It was really weird looking. Yeah, anyway.
I don't know what that. I kind of hope that director never worked again. I kind of. We go to actually a Cousin Eddie story for our first story here.
Oh, interesting.
A Cousin Eddie display in Kentucky leads to police response.
Jeez.
I'm going to show Seth a little bit of the picture here of the Cousin Eddie display. It's got Cousin Eddie, of course, you know, with the RV pump,
yeah, with in his robe, yeah, yeah.
They've got a couch overturned with the dead squirrel or whatever, cat or whatever.
Yeah,
underneath.
The squirrel, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So we go to Shepherdsville, Kentucky. A Cousin Eddie display in Kentucky apparently looked a little too real, and police were called in to check it out. After receiving the call, a dispatcher described the scene to responding officers as a male standing outside. He is naked. He has a robe covering part of his body. He's exposing himself, and he has a hose between his legs. This display, the robe is closed.
Yep.
It is clearly a mannequin.
Yes.
They didn't put anything on. Yep. Other than the clothes.
Yep. The hose is not between his legs, by the way.
No, and it's not it's got fake stuff coming, like fake green stuff coming out of it.
Yeah, right.
Officers arrived at Shepherdsville home to find a mannequin in the yard that looked like Cousin Eddie from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Right.
It was decorated with a robe, a hat, a cigar, and a beer, and was holding what appeared to be an orange hose.
Yep.
Homeowner Joni Keeney said she decided to put up the display from her favorite Christmas movie to have some fun. Quote, everybody has a Cousin Eddie in their family. Everybody. I just want people to have a good Christmas and get a good laugh. Responding officers did get a laugh and took some photos of the display. Even some officers took some pictures with it. Never a dull moment, Shepherdsville Police Chief Rick McCubbin said. She was not fined or anything like that.
I hope not. I'm not sure whoever called in that thing, because I don't know what they were looking at.
Scrooge.
But because I don't see any of that stuff there. No.
No.
Obviously a mannequin, too. I don't know.
And for what it's worth, this is a really nice neighborhood, and that's a really nice house.
Yeah.
this is not, I don't know. I think that kind of makes it even funnier to me. Yeah. Like, I guess. And I don't know. I think... People work so hard on their Christmas displays.
Oh my gosh!
And do
yes.
such an amazing job. Mm-hmm. I wanted to open up in the 9 o'clock hour. If there are anything in the Wisconsin Rapids area or just in surrounding area, mm-hmm. Houses that you guys want us to go, let the audience know. Hey,
oh,
you
yeah.
should drive past this house or whatever.
Yeah,
you can call up the show 424-2600. Otherwise, you can email Seth or I, Seth or James at WFHR.com. Go ahead and email one of us, and mm-hmm. we'll let the world know about it. We'll let everybody know. But the lights are usually, and some kind of pomp and circumstance, some mm-hmm. designs. This is a display. It's like a
yeah. It's
it's funny.
It's just yeah.
And just having some fun with it. And I don't know. I feel like we could use a little more of that nowadays.
Yeah.
A little more tongue-in-cheek kind
light,
of fun.
Lightheartedness. Yeah.
You got to know the line. You got to be able to walk the line of it not going too far.
Of course. So
you don't want to push the envelope, which is where we're going next.
Oh, boy.
Yep, that's right. Segway King over here, baby.
The Segway King.
I did want to get into some idioms with you. We haven't gotten a chance to do this in a while.
Yeah, we have not. These are always fun.
And we actually did come across one the other day that made me think, oh, I got to look that one up. I say it all the time. And mm-hmm. it is that one right there, pushing the envelope.
Pushing the envelope. Is it envelope?
Ah, yes, envelope. I think it is envelope,
I
actually.
Don't know.
Pushing the envelope is actually the correct way of putting it. It comes from the aeronomical use of an envelope referring to performance limits that cannot be exceeded safely. The phrase was originally limited to space flight before spreading to other risky physical accomplishments.
Really?
And finally, metaphorically, to any boundary-pushing activity such as art or a daring maneuver.
It comes from space. Huh. The space travel stuff. Really? Wow. No idea. That's really cool.
I wonder if that phrase came from us making paper airplanes.
I wonder.
I know I'm being a little silly, but I'm also like, I don't know if there's a little truth in there. I don't know.
You never know.
Huh. That's an interesting one, though.
That is fascinating.
And not as old as I would have thought it was.
No, that's actually quite recent.
You are what you eat. You are what you eat. That's a famous one.
Yes.
Now, the first mention of this phrase, you are what you eat, came from the 1826 work of psychological author. It just came from France. Okay. So in the book, the writer says, tell me what you eat and I will tell you what you are.
Oh, so that's what it came. Oh, that's what. I also love finding out what the original sayings actually were.
Yes.
Because that one and how they've been, you know, I don't want to say corrupted, how they've been changed over the years into something, you know, probably simple. It's usually simpler, one line kind of thing. Yep.
Yeah.
You are what you eat. Makes sense.
I like that. I like that one.
That's although it doesn't one. Necessarily mean the exact same thing either, what he was talking about, whoever the True. Writer was. Yeah.
True. Hit the hay. Hit the hay.
I use that. I've used that one for years.
Same here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm tired. I'm going to hit the hay.
Yep.
The term hit the hay is believed to have originated in 1903 when the Oakland Tribune reported that Sam Berger, the Olympic heavyweight, was sleepy and he announced that he was going to hit the hay. So,
wow.
That's an interesting one because I think that it doesn't. Well, that's our original, like, that's where we first heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's where it originated.
I think you're right.
I'm guessing that has farm relations to it.
Yes. I think it's a folklore thing that it suddenly hits the wider consciousness of a society.
Yeah.
But it's probably been used for many, many years in a smaller group.
Off the hook.
That seems like a more recent one, right?
Yeah, you're lucky it turns out. Here's an example. You're lucky it turns out that Dad never heard you come in late last night. Yeah, great. That means I'm off the hook.
Yep. You're off the hook for something, right?
The origin of the idiom off the hook can be found in, of course, fishing. A fish on the hook has been caught and is considered to be out of options. It's trapped unless it is released, just like a fish off the hook.
There you go.
Yeah.
That makes complete sense.
I feel like that's one of those ones that if you thought about it long enough, you would have come to it, but I didn't. So I didn't think about that one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Let's see here. I got a gut feeling about this. I got the feeling about that. The idea that feelings are associated with one's intestine or guts is an ancient one.
Okay.
But the term gut feeling is believed to have come into use sometime around the 1970s.
Really?
But it is an ancient...
Yeah, an idea. Like, yeah, right.
Go
exactly.
back to Buddhism and everything and mm-hmm. find a lot of origins with some of that. That's an interesting... okay.
That's interesting, but saying gut feeling, because you literally feel something in your, you know, in your intestines, that's interesting.
I don't know if we've done this one or not. I really don't think we have, but if we have, I apologize. Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
I don't remember if we've done that one before.
The origin of the expression, don't count your chickens before they hatch, is a direct reference to the fact that eggs sometimes fail to hatch, reducing the number of live chicks in a clutch.
Mm-hmm.
The first printed example is seen in 1570.
Wow.
1570, a work by Thomas Howell, New Sonnets and Pretty Pamphlets. Count not thy chickens that unhatched be. Weigh words as wind till through wind certainty.
Can I start using that one?
Yeah.
Count not your chickens.
I like that.
I like it, like the inversion there. That's great.
For some reason, I do like that a little bit better.
It's
yes.
very poetic sounding. Of course, it is in a sonnet. So.
Yeah. Huh. That's a good one.
That is a good one. I like that one.
Now, what happens when you want to pop the question here? How about popping the question?
Mm.
Even though the phrase sounds very modern and new, it was actually first heard back in the early 1500s.
What?
And,
really?
And they don't really have a straight, you know, A to B direct line of how that resulted in, hey, I'm going to pop the question, and that resulting into a marriage proposal.
Yeah, right. Wow. 1500s? Whew. That does sound a lot more modern than that.
It does. Interest,
that's very fascinating.
And it's kind of it's just a little surprising to me that we not only that we don't have the necessarily origin. Well, it's mm-hmm. from the 1500s, so that's not that surprising. But that it isn't more modern. I can't get past.
Yeah, that's it. Seems that way, right?
Well, this one, this is another one. Bookworm. Like, bookworm feels very modern.
Yes, it does.
If you love to read books, you may have been called a bookworm.
Mm-hmm.
The origin of the idiom bookworm probably originated as a somewhat derogatory term for a person who study or read more than usual. Bugs such as silverfish, book lice, and linoleum beetles were referred to as bookworms because they inhabited books, thus the idiom.
Ugh, book lice? I've never even heard of that before. That sounds horrible.
That ain't right.
That ain't right.
That's our first.
And I would
right
say
story.
Yes, that was originally a derogatory term. They're comparing you to a silverfish. I mean, come on.
Doesn't seem right.
No.
Doesn't. I don't know what to do with that one. I genuinely don't. I don't know where to go with that one. I did not expect that. I don't like to really read ahead on a lot of these.
Yeah.
So I kind of.
That's still, wow.
Sometimes maybe I should.
You
maybe.
Worm.
you're just joshing me on that, aren't you?
Just joshing, yeah.
Just joshing around. The origin of the expression joshing me can be found in the late 1800s when a young man named Josh Tatum noticed that nickels minted in 1883 were almost the same as a $5 gold piece in terms of size and design. He and a friend began to electroplate these coins and pass them off as $5 pieces, eventually amassing a small fortune before being caught.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh.
So that was actually from a criminal act.
Wow.
That's hilarious.
Ah, that's interesting.
Joshing me. You've been joshed.
Okay. I wonder if the name Josh, like for some years there, like nobody used it or something.
I bet you they did, yeah.
Some of these names, they kind of used because of one person's, you know.
Who knew? Wow, that's a good one.
Well, it's time we wrap up this segment, Seth, and we face the music.
It's time to face the music?
It's time to face the music. The term face the music was first seen in print during the mid-1800s.
Okay, yep.
Wow. The earliest example comes from 1834 edition of the New Hampshire Statesman and State Journal. Mm-hmm. Will the editor of the Courier explain this black affair? We want no equivocation. Face the music this time.
Interesting.
Weird.
That's
weird. It's a weird sentence.
That is a strange sentence. Man, letters to the editor used to be different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's very
true. Use these really big words, and yeah, my goodness.
We got some entertainment stuff to kick off the next hour we'll get into. Of course, we got the Any Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day. I have the 10 Rudest Sports Fan Behaviors. Want to get into that with Seth. Plenty more coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.